George Bush was celebrating the life of Coretta Scott King at her funeral today. He praised the civil rights leader for enduring extraordinary pain and loss to give generations of people what he called a better, more welcoming country. The funeral took on political overtones when former President Jimmy Carter said of the Kings, quote, it was difficult for them then personally with the civil liberties of both husband and wife violated as they became the target of secret government wiretaps. Later, Carter said, Hurricane Katrina showed all are not yet equal in America. And both Bush and his father winced as they sat behind the pulpit and heard the Reverend Joseph Lowery, who co-founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference with Martin Luther King Jr., take several jabs at foreign and domestic policies. He said, quote, we know there were no weapons of mass destruction over there, but Coretta knew, and we knew there are weapons of misdirection down here. Lowry said, complaining that far too many in the U.S. are living in poverty and without health care insurance. Egypt says today they were not told of last week's Red Sea ferry sinking for hours. A spokesman for President Hosni Mubarak says the ferry's owners didn't inform the government of the disaster till 7 a.m. Friday. By most accounts, the ship sank about 2 a.m. on Friday. Other reports say it may have gone down even earlier. The ferry was carrying more than 1,400 passengers and crew. Most of the passengers were low-income Egyptians returning home from working in Saudi Arabia. There are only about 400 known survivors. Almost 1,000 people died. This is Air America Radio News.
difficult for them personally, for the civil liberties of both husband and wife violated as they became the targets of secret government wiretapping, other surveillance.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio, coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, as we always do. That is pertinent tonight because it's right outside Atlanta, Georgia today when the memorial service to Coretta Scott King was held. I spent most of the afternoon listening to the incredibly powerful and wonderful speeches made at this eulogy, this memorial service, and once again marveling at the dumb acidness of most white commentators on cable television. It's astonishing. Whether it's Scarborough or Wolf Blitzer or, you know, here they go again, right? They couldn't understand the political enthusiasm at Wellstone's memorial service, and they damn sure can't understand a bunch of 10,000 Negroes getting together and a few white people and telling the truth. You know, the fact that the pissant was sitting on the stage, George W. Bush was sitting on the stage, ooh, excuse me, that really had Tucker Carlson's underwear in a wad, didn't it? What did he say a couple of times today? It was rude as hell to make the kinds of statements. Hey, Tucker, it wasn't about Bush, you little numbnut freak. It wasn't about you. It was about movement people who kicked ass and took names of white folks just like you. Jesus, these people have nerve, don't they? Huh? What did Tucker say? It was rude as hell with Bush there to make the kinds of statements that Jimmy Carter and Reverend Joseph Lowry made. That it was graceless. Tucker, let me tell you something, you little bow-tied freak. When else do these people get to address the president? And that's not the point anyway. The point is that the remarks were said in the context of Coretta Scott King's death, which was in the context of Martin Luther King's death, which was in the context of what black folk have put up with from people like you, Tucker, all their lives, and still do. And if George W. Bush's pansy little ass was sitting up on the stage being forced, look, he didn't want to go to begin with. The only reason he showed up down here today was because Karl Rove said, look, saddle up, boy, you're going. A lot of Negroes down there. We don't want the Negroes, but to make white people realize, all of our base realize what a good Christian you are. So saddle up, go, you're going. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So all these commentators and all the newscasters, oh, they're shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked, I tell you. To hear Jimmy Carter tell the truth. Oh, and the attacks on Carter. Who is this Kate O'Byrne? I watched her this afternoon on whose program? I don't even know what program. She's with National Journal. Little right-wing, tight-ass, the pruny-faced woman. Making her comments, hey, Kate O'Byrne, it's not about you, baby. Go do something with your right-wingers. You are so out of what happened down here in Atlanta today, you don't even have a reason to comment. You don't understand it. You don't get it. You never will. Go away. Go talk about right-wing nonsense. Unbelievable today. And they did the same thing to the Wellstone funeral, only this time, you see, there's the added element of race. Martin Luther King said enough. Martin Luther King said, enough, we're concerned, white oppression in this country. Enough. And so many of the folks that watched this today just couldn't quite get their minds right. Oh my goodness, they're talking like that with the president sitting there? Ooh. Bush didn't understand a thing was said. He just sat there like the little chimpanzee that he is. And when everybody else clapped, he clapped. Lowry could have got up there and said, George W. Bush is a baby raper. And they all would have clapped, and George would have clapped. He didn't know what the hell was going on. He didn't care. He doesn't understand the language. Doesn't understand the context. He was trying to figure out why he was sitting next to Laura in a huge, what is this, a church, Laura? Cathedral with 10,000 people, 90% of whom were black, staring back at, where are we, why are we here, Laura? Where is this place? Carl said I had to come. Jesus. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Lowry had kind of a playful reading of a poem. And crappy poetry, but hard-ass truth. Like Brother Dave Garden used to say, hard saying. This is a hard saying. You know what a hard saying? Hard saying goes like this. It isn't the pendulum swinging to and fro, but the essence that drives it that makes us go. Now, if you're not from the South, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But here it is. Here's a little hard saying from Reverend Joe, which is what we call him down here, Reverend Joe. She extended Martin's messages against poverty, racism, and war. She deplored the terror inflicted by our smart bombs on missions way afar. We know now there were no weapons of mass destruction over there, but Coretta knew and we knew that there are weapons of misdirection right down here. Millions without health insurance, poverty abounds for war, billions more, but no more for the poor. And that got a 2.5-minute standing ovation. And all these little white chuckle-headed freaks it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Former President Jimmy Carter mentioned the fact how difficult it was for the kings personally with the civil liberties of both a husband and wife violated because they became a target of secret government wiretaps. Hello! And little bow tie boy Tucker Carlson gets his panties, his thong, all in a wad tonight. Ah, well, I think that was just rude. Wasn't your funeral, jackass. Wasn't your eulogy, jackass. You weren't invited, jackass. Sit down and shut up. Bowtie boy, you have nothing to say. And Cato Byrne and all you white freaks. Jesus, I'm white. Well, mostly. The last two big televised memorial services that I've seen, Paul Wellstone's in this one, has left me at once inspired and furious. Furious at these right-wingers, these Nazis in this country. Joe Scarborough. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Scarborough doing a thing on Thursday nights where he invites on a bunch of talk show hosts. And you know, we got the invitation. I would rather take a razor blade and cut off my eyelids and go sit with this jackass. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. Man. You want to know what's rude, Tucker? It's rude to bomb. It's rude to drop napalm on Fallujah. It's rude to drop white phosphorus. It's rude to send American young men and women to die for lie upon lie upon lie. That's what's rude, Tucker, you little bow-tied bastard. That's what's rude. You know what else is rude? Bombing civilians in Pakistan. You want to know what else is rude? Murder and mayhem and torture and wiretapping. That's rude, Tucker. Shame I couldn't say his name the way I'd like to say it. Assassinating civil rights leaders is rude, too, Tucker. Dumb little bastard. I'm so sick of these right-wingers. They're just like, they're like viruses. All over the place. A bunch of activist people can't get together and high-five each other spiritually, emotionally, physically, and talk about what they had to talk about without these little bow-tied bastards on cable television jumping up out of the weeds, get all up in everybody's face talking about it's rude. I got some rude for you, Tucker. I got a whole basket full of rude for you.
We can do it in your window. We can. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
I was disappointed, frankly, in the vote I got in the African-American community. I put people in my cabinet. I put people in my sub-cabinet.
Yeah, you sure do. You put people in your basement, your sub-basement, whatever the hell you're saying. We've got a couple of sound bites where we're going to play for you here in just a second. This is from Lott, L-O-T-T, over in Birmingham. He writes, Mike, I'm a black male in my 30s and I work for my house. During the afternoons, I tune into a local sports talk show named the Paul Feinbaum Show. It's a local show here in Birmingham. When the show first started, Mr. Feinbaum and his partner on the show were making fun and laughing about Coretta King's funeral. They were laughing about her dying in Mexico and they even said that she looked like she was dead when she was alive. They joked about Martin Luther King cheating on Mrs. King and that they were mad because the TV coverage of her funeral interrupted the soap operas. It was totally disgusting. These two redneck white guys are a perfect example why Alabama has a reputation that it has. I called into the show and told them it was disgraceful the way they were just ranting on about her. Mr. Feinbaum made the statement that George Bush didn't even want to be there, and he had better things to do at this time. What does he have to do? Tell more lies about not wiretapping people? Making plans to invade Iran? Or tell us that he's not cutting funding for education? Mr. Feinbaum, as you remember that old saying, it's better to remain silent, be thought a fool, than speak out and remove all doubt. Well, Lott, I appreciate your restraint, man. You know, you write me an email like that, and I appreciate your restraint. Okay? I said a long time ago, and I said again and again and again, had I been born African-American in this society at this point, I wouldn't even be alive now. I'd either be dead. I would have been dead 30 years ago, either dead or in prison or in a mental institution. Reverend Joseph Lowry, one of the old-time marchers, one of the people from a long time ago, one of the founders of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, that is, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Reverend Joe Lowry.
He extended Martin's message against poverty, racism, and war. She deplored the terror inflicted by our smart bums on missions way afar. We know now there were no weapons of mass destruction over there. That there are weapons of misdirection right down here.
Right down here. Absolutely right down here. And the monkey was sitting behind Reverend Joe Lowry applauding. The chimpanzee was sitting back there applauding. It was just an amazing thing to see. That's so rude. That is so rude. He was applauding his own evisceration. He's such a dumb bastard. He is the dumbest bastard of all dumb bastards. Give me a million dumb bastards, and George W. Bush will light up like a light when I say the word dumb bastard.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
What are we clapping for, Laura?
I don't know.
I don't know, honey. Just clap. We're in a room full of black folk. Just clap. Is this where we're supposed to have lunch? We're going to have some barbecue here in the basement, the church basement? No, honey, just relax. It's okay.
The right wingers, especially this Kate Byrne freak zombie-looking flesh eater from National Journal, who takes her bony ass on television. What's with all these right-wing female commentators with their bony ass faces? They look like skulls with the skin pulled over tight. Kate Byrne is another one, or is it O'Byrne? I don't even know. I don't care. Oh, but she was just so upset about Jimmy Carter. Oh, they love to attack Jimmy Carter. Oh, you nasty old bitch. The things she said about Carter were just an outrage. He was a failure as a president, and he's failed. Continues to fail after his presidency. Hey, Cato Byrne, this guy has more humanity in his big toe than you have in your entire bony ass. Here's President Carter, Kate.
Coretta and Martin and their family have been able to climb the highest mountain and to realize the essence of theology and political science. And philosophy. They overcame one of the greatest challenges of life, which is to be able to wage a fierce struggle for freedom and justice, and to do it peacefully.
Yes!
It is always a temptation to forget that we worship the Prince of Peace.
Sorry, press. No, sorry, President Carter. Nuh-uh, nuh-uh, nuh-uh. You may worship the Prince of Peace. The people in that room may worship the Prince of Peace, with a couple of glaring exceptions whose initials are George W. Bush.
By your life, you tell me it can be done. By your life, the courage to carry on. Heroes, here like a friend.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
25 before the hour. People don't, so many white folks, and I'm sorry, I know I'm coming across like a real racial freak tonight. Let me tell you what, I've got a couple more sound bites here. Yeah, I know I sound like a racial freak. Not a race, racial. I understand. 30 years ago, I'm living here in Atlanta, and there were a bunch of us sharing a house together. A couple of writers, a couple of actors, that's what we called ourselves. Actually, we were just unemployed. And on Sundays, this is back in the day when I was still trying to like, oh man, there has to be a spiritual level that is otherworldly. There has to be. I mean, death is not a door slamming. It can't be. You know, I still believe that nonsense. I was still struggling through the religious superstition. I listen to anybody. Let me talk to a Jew, a Muslim, any one of a number of different Christians. You know, what's your story, man? What's your story? But on Sundays, I got in the habit of going to Wheat Street Baptist Church. Over here on Sweet Auburn Avenue, which is not far from the Martin Luther King birthplace home, not far from the memorial center that you see with the fountain and yada yada. And I went to the Wheat Street Baptist Church, and it was so funny because sometimes I'd ask some of my housemates, "Come on, let's go." And there was a guy, one of the guys living in our house, Rick Rosen, who was a photographer, and Jack Wilkes, who was an actor, and who else? Kat Joy, who was a lighting woman, and Ira Luft. Ira was a vegetarian. who is now our New York bureau chief, Teresa Ward, who, am I allowed to say her last name? I don't give a damn. And I say, come on, let's go on. Now, these are all white people. I said, let's go to Wheat Street Baptist Church. The only reason I knew about Wheat Street Baptist Church is because I had done I was working as a writer for a local paper, and I did a piece on Wheat Street Baptist Church. And we'd go to Wheat Street, and they had no problem. We'd be a little clutch of white people come walking in. And we had to sit up in the balcony, which I thought was really funny. We had to sit up in the balcony. And they had three or four choirs there. They had what they called the big choir. They had the women's auxiliary choir. They had the men's choir. And on certain Sundays, even had a children's choir. But the big choir, you see, when they would sing these Christian songs, right out of the song, the Baptist hymnal, when they would sing and get that swaying thing going, right? Swaying thing going. Hallelujah, we're going to sway. We're going to sway. Yeah, back and forth. And the preacher would get rocking and rolling. And he would come to that part in the sermon where he would talk about the oppression of the Negro and how the Caucasian, and everybody knew we were sitting up there. And invariably, we'd be sitting up there, and down on the main floor, you know, maybe 150 heads would turn to look up at us, going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we would scrunch down in the seats like, hey, it was, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, preach, Reverend, mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was amazing. And you talk about going into a house of worship where the spirit is flowing. I'm sorry, I was brought up in a white Baptist church, and everybody was just so tight-ass, and just so, oh my Lord. Nobody would ever applaud when somebody did something, you know, righteously spiritual. Nobody would ever get up and testify. That was another thing about the black church that I went to, Wheat Street Baptist Church. They had a couple of people, usually women, who would feel the spirit. I mean, the spirit will get inside this woman. And she'd stand up in the pew and raise that hand up to God and just stand there during the whole service, just swaying back and forth. Every once in a while, break out in tongues. Now, if that were to happen in a white church, not a white evangelical, some of these white churches now are picking up on that thing. You know, they're losing their inhibitions and have been for some time. But if that were to happen in, say, some of the established white churches here in Atlanta, Methodist, Baptist, forget Episcopal, it wouldn't even come close to that. But if that were to happen, they'd probably have that poor woman taken away. Or they would shake their head and say, she needs more Valium. Honest to God, now, if she comes to church and can't control herself, she needs more Valium. But see, the people in the pews at Wheat Street Baptist Church, when they saw a sister get up and start rocking and testifying and murmuring and shouting, they would support her or ignore her. They just ignore her, like, go, sister, go ahead. Go ahead. And that's what was going on today. That was what the spirit was. But that's why Tucker Carlson and the rest of these white boys don't even have a clue. Oh, that was rude. That was rude. That was rude. They should. These are movement people. These are people who understand the gospel of Jesus Christ to a level, Tucker Carlson, that you won't even be able to smell, much less understand. They understand that Martin Luther King, what he was about, what his widow was about. These people understand this, Tucker, and Joe Scarborough, and Wolf Blitzer, and all the rest of you freaks. They understand. They know. Where in the hell did you think you were today, Tucker? What do you think you were watching on the TV? You're watching a homegoing celebration, Tucker, and you don't even know what the term means. And you're going to say it was rude, you ignorant little Caucasian. Now, I know. Yeah, right. I'm playing a race card tonight. You're damn right I'm playing a race card tonight. I'm just playing it all over. I'm just playing it all. You want to do another Jimmy Carter? Okay, let's do another Jimmy Carter about how Martin and Coretta were harassed by George Bush's FBI. Every FBI is George Bush's FBI.
The efforts of Martin and Coretta have changed America. They were not appreciated even at the highest level of government. It was difficult for them, personally, for the civil liberties of both husband and wife violated as they became the targets of secret government wiretapping.
Uh-huh.
Other surveillance.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
Harassment from the FBI.
That's right. We know about that. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying with the applause. We know about that, President Carter. We know about that. Getting all up in your face with wiretapping. We know. He goes on.
This commemorative ceremony this morning and this afternoon is not only to acknowledge the great contributions of Coretta and Martin, but to remind us that the struggle for equal rights is not over. We only have to recall the color of the faces of those in Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi.
That's right! That's right!
Those who are most devastated by Katrina, to know that they are not yet equal opportunities for all Americans.
It is our responsibility, he said, to continue their crusade. It was just, I don't know, and Tucker Carlson calls this rude. You idiot little, go drink a latte or something. Go do a glass of Metamucil and clean out, Tucker. You don't know what you were watching today. You don't have a clue. You don't understand this. None of you people understand this who made all your nasty, scurrilous, little, thinly veiled racist comments today. You don't know what you saw today. You have no idea who they were talking about. You don't know what they were talking about. All you saw was George Bush sitting there, little old chimpanzee with that smirk on his face. People talking about him. And him clapping. And here's Bill Clinton.
The one thing I always admired about Dr. King and about Coretta when I got to know her especially is how they embraced causes that were almost surely lost, right alongside causes that they knew if they worked at hard enough, they could actually win. They understood that the difficulty of success does not relieve one of the obligation to try.
That's right.
So all of us have to remember that. What are we going to do with the rest of our lives? You want to treat our friend Coretta like a role model? Then model her behavior.
Oh, that's so rude, Bill. That is so rude. That is so graceless.
We'll be back after this break.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
We'll be right back.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
All right. I just had to get that out of my system. Watching what I watched today on C-SPAN. With all the speakers and all the people and all the heartfelt movement stuff. You know what I mean? And most of the people standing up there are old people. Do you know how old Reverend Joe Lowry is? My God, he must be in his 80s by now. Movement to Jimmy Carter. People who have been through it, black and white, here in the South, who understand the civil rights movement and the civil rights message, and who have tried, really tried, these folks have, to live the message of Jesus. I'm not talking about Dobson and the rest of these freak Christ killers. I'm talking about folks who truly have tried to listen to the three or four sermons that Jesus actually gave, especially the Sermon on the Mount, so-called, and live by it. But as far as a home-going celebration, which is what this was all about today, unless you've been there, you don't understand it. Unless you've walked the walk and heard the music and sat in the pew and gotten your ass chewed on by a German shepherd, or gotten tear gassed or beat up by a bunch of redneck white people, or watch your family and everything you own wiped out in New Orleans. You know, unless you've been there, it's really difficult to have any platform to stand on to criticize what occurred at this cathedral today. That's why when I watched this stuff today, I watched this for hours because it was so moving. Almost made me want to go be a Christian again. Almost made me want to go join a church again. Almost made me want to get in the choir again. Almost made me want to preach. And then to listen after I cut away, at 5 o'clock, they're still going. That's when Bernice King started speaking. She's a preacher and a lawyer. Oh, my God. Had to cut away. So I went to the news channels to see what kind of reporting was being done on what occurred down here today in Lithonia, Georgia. And what do I see? Well, you probably saw some of it too. The absolute audacity of some of these white folks. The absolute audacity to make critical comments. You weren't invited, freak, and there's a reason you weren't invited. Yeah, the Kings were about love and inclusion, but you're about hate and exclusion. You dealt yourself off the invitation list, if you understand what I mean. You closed the door on your own fingers. And to listen to the comments from these white people, what are they going to have now? A swift boat veterans for truth where it concerns what really happened today at Mrs. King's funeral. They're going to have something like that now? Sure they are. How long do these freaky bastards talk about the Wellstone funeral? Oh, the nerve of them. Oh, this is what you're supposed to do at a funeral. You don't know what the hell you're supposed to. When you folks die, when some of you right-wingers die, you bow-tied, bug-eyed, drug-addled freaks, when you die, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. So it was a big celebration. Big celebration. It was about a subject that so few of this generation of white commentators on cable television have any understanding of whatsoever. Might have been something they read about one time. What was that Selma thing? Bull Connor? What's that about? Ignorance. Ignorance. Willful ignorance. But I just had to get it out of my system, and it's got. It's gone. We're going to take a break in a minute here. When we come back, I'm going to move on. This upheaval in the so-called Islamic world about the so-called cartoons, man, it is truly getting out of hand. Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, is opening up offers for foreign aid to help rebuild New Orleans. Can you believe that? Remember what the Bush bastard said when he stood there in the carefully lighted church in Jackson Square in New Orleans? Remember the lies he told there? This son of a bitch says good morning to you at 9 o'clock a.m. He's lying. So Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans now, he had people there from Saudi Arabia and from France talking about rebuilding his city. How about that? Foreign aid. And a German court has freed a Moroccan national who was convicted of belonging to a terrorist cell that included three of the alleged 9/11 hijackers. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison last August. German court freed him. Because I think the German court understands. Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to drink a bottle of seltzer water and calm down. But I just had to vent. You understand what I'm saying? After watching what I saw on television today, and then the follow-up from all the white commentators, had to vent. Had to vent, Tracy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
I'm Bill Crowley. A new poll finds Americans now think Iran is the biggest threat to the U.S. As recently as this past October, Iraq, China, and North Korea were ranked as the most threatening countries. The Pew Research Center for the People in the Press, which did the poll, says among people who've been following recent news about Iran, there's even greater concern. The U.S. has been warning about Iran's nuclear program. The U.N. Security Council is taking it up, which prompted Iran to order U.N. surveillance gear and seals on the equipment be removed. The poll found two-thirds or more of Americans think if Iran develops nuclear weapons, it's likely to attack Israel, Europe, or the U.S., and there's even greater concern Iran might pass nuclear weapons to terrorists. Instead of talking about weapon systems and numbers, members of the Senate Armed Services Committee today were questioning top Pentagon officials about improving day-to-day life in Iraq. Committee Chairman Senator John Warner criticized the Bush administration for focusing too heavily on standing up the Iraqi security forces. Warner says when it comes to oil production, the supply of drinking water, and the health needs of Iraqis, quote, it's just not matching the efforts of the military. Warner says there needs to be a shift in emphasis, placing equal value on stabilizing living conditions in Iraq. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld admitted work in that area is lagging, but he says it follows, quote, decades of neglect and will take a long time to change. Rumsfeld says ultimately it's something the Iraqis must do themselves. Treasury Secretary John Snow came under criticism on Capitol Hill today for the Bush administration priorities on tax cuts. Maine's Republican Senator Olympia Snow says they are putting the cart before the horse by pushing lawmakers to make permanent the tax breaks for capital gains and dividends. They don't expire for years. She says a more immediate problem is the alternative minimum tax, which is set to trap roughly 19 million more middle-class taxpayers this year. The Treasury Secretary responded the administration's looking at the AMT problem, wants it fixed as part of tax reform. Montana Senator Max Baucus told the Treasury Secretary that tax reform commission that would oversee such reform is, quote, dead. George Bush did not mention tax reform during last week's State of the Union speech, and it also was not part of his budget. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 6:30 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Miller. A little program note here. We'll be driving and crying all night this Friday. That is the name of the band that used to be fronted by Kevin Kinney, one of the best southern bands you've probably barely heard of. So for those listeners who always ask me, who's this Kevin Kinney guy you wish good night every Friday night, have a good weekend, you'll know we're going to play his music Friday night. It's good music. Sadly, it got labeled as southern rock. It's not. Kevin is from Milwaukee, for God's sake. But we came out at a time. Kevin's band was pretty big in the late 80s through the 90s. And so just want to let you know, if you're a Kevin Kinney fan, a Driving and Crying fan, that's going to be all the bumper music on Friday night. The other topic that, before I get to the Muslim rage that is circling the globe here, Insight Magazine is published by the Washington Times, which is owned by the Reverend Sung Myung Moon, who believes himself to be the most recent incarnation of the Christ. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you're George Bush and the rabid right turns against you, you just might be toast. It depends. But how close is impeachment? Well, congressional sources, according to Insight Magazine, said that Karl Rove is threatening Republicans who vote against Bush, the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee. There are 10 of them, 10 of these senators who are Republicans. And Rove, yeah, see, that's the reason Bush is able to steal so much and be such a little dictator. Rove doesn't mess around, and most politicians are cowards at heart. I know the Democrats are the most cowardly right now, but the Republicans are terrified of Karl Rove. Now, according to a source who gave this information to Insight Magazine, it was said the blacklist would mean a halt in any White House political or financial support to any senator running for re-election in November who, whether they're on the Judiciary Committee or not, who supports this inquiry into Bush's lawlessness. But especially the 10 who, and I think of the 10 Republicans who are on the Senate Judiciary Committee, I think 3 or 4 of them are up for re-election this November. One congressional aide said it's hardball all the way, and he wasn't referring to Chris Matthews. The sources who talked to Inside Magazine said this administration has been alarmed over the damage that could result from the Senate hearings, which began Monday. They said the defection of even a handful of Republican committee members could result, here it comes, in a determination that the president violated the FISA Act. Such a determination could lead to impeachment proceedings. Such a determination could lead to impeachment proceedings. So Rove has been on the phone threatening everybody. Now, is this obstruction of justice? Well, this isn't a courtroom. There is no court of law, criminal court of law, that a president is subject to. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously in Jones versus Clinton that the president could be sued in a civil case and divert the powers of the executive branch to defending himself in a cheesy-ass lawsuit by some trailer park whore. But as far as criminal activity, the president's immune. He's in office, the only legal proceeding against a president, sitting president, is impeachment. That's the only one that's available. So is Rove's activity, does it constitute legal definition of obstruction of justice? No, of course not. But in my mind it does, and in your mind it does. The nerve of this little rat bastard, right? But of course, I mean, what do we expect? So who might fall? Republicans might vote with the Democrats and begin the proceedings to remove this little rat bastard from office? Well, Arlen Specter, for one, right? Arlen Specter is already on the record on NBC this past Sunday. Said it was clear to him that the law had been violated. That's a quote. It's clear to me. He said, quote, let's see now. He said the program, I guess that means what Bush signed off on, is in flat violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Specter added, he's not sure. All of a sudden he's a dumbass. He's not sure whether or not the FISA Act is consistent with the Constitution. But I mean, here it is. Here it is. Democrats are not going to do anything to upset the apple cart here. Now, I realize they don't have the power in the House to begin impeachment proceedings. I understand that. But every time the Democrats are given a chance to fight, they collapse like a bunch of, you know, three-year-olds. They just fall apart and roll over on the floor and you know, take their pants off and say, please don't hit me, please don't hit me. I'll be a good little tutu Democrat. Which raises the question, is there a couple of Republicans who do have the courage to go up against this lawless bastard and save the Republic? Who would it be? Arlen Specter? How about Lindsey Graham? Lindsey Graham is I don't like him, but some of the statements he's made seem to indicate that he doesn't like what Bush is doing. Mike DeWine, this little twit from Ohio, who is up for re-election, he seems to have a problem. Of course, he comes from the most corrupt state in the 50, Ohio, the most corrupt. And he's part of the corruption. So I don't know. Meantime, Iowa's Governor Tom Vilsack said that Democrats, see, this is why I hate Democrats in leadership position. Governor Tom Vilsack, this is according to the Des Moines Register, said Monday that Democrats risk political backlash if they object to the Bush administration's wiretapping, but cannot show that American civil liberties are at risk. See, this is the thing. This Democratic governor says if the president broke the law, that's unacceptable, but I think it's debatable whether he did, and I think Democrats are falling into a very, very large political trap. Democrats are not going to win elections until they can reassure people they're going to keep them safe. And you wonder why I don't like Democrats. And Vilsack is considering a 2008 presidential bid. Forget it, Tom. There's not a legitimate Democrat in America who would vote for your ass. I'm surprised you got. But isn't Vilsack's a member of the Democratic, the DLC, you know, the Republican Light group? But so anyway, there it is. I don't want to belabor this too much because I don't know what story is here. This is just typical Karl Rovian activity. He's threatening. Wouldn't you love to have Karl Rove threaten you? He's threatening Republican senators who allegedly don't represent primarily the Republican Party. They represent their constituents from a Republican point of view. But that's not how Rove sees it. Rove is a Nazi. Rove would have fit in beautifully in Hitler's inner circle. Just perfect. Dress the little roly-poly thing up in an SS uniform. Teach him how to give that right arm salute. He's there, man. He's right. He's home. So, of course, this is what you do. You call up the senators on the Senate committee, the Republicans on this committee, and you say, listen up. You even think about voting against Bush, and we will do everything to cut your throat and leave you bleeding on the sidewalk. Do you understand? Because Rove knows how close his boy is to impeachment. He understands. He gets it. Bush doesn't have a clue. I'm here to protect the American people. I want to protect the American people, right? Uncle Dick? I'm going to protect the American people. He doesn't have a clue how close he is to being impeached and tried and convicted and removed from office. So who does it depend on? 2-3 courageous, almost choke on it, Republicans.
It must be the savings and loan that he put up his nose. He's ready to lead us. Have much more than 10 cents a dance. But who's really paying the tune while we watch Georgie France? Think of Thomas Jefferson. Makes me wanna cry.
to think that the chair he sat in someone could buy. George wears his faith like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
A liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, California. Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
First, I'm so agitated right now. The first question I want to ask you is, what brand of seltzer water did you just drink? Because I could use several gallons of that stuff. I'm so completely outraged about this funeral thing and Bush's appearance.
I don't know what to say. I got outraged today too. Not so much at Bush. Bush. He's just this little freak ass that had no business being there. I got outraged at the commentators on all the cable shows, from Wolf Blitzer to this freak.
Carlson.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson. I don't know. I don't know how you handle your freakouts. I do mine because I'm lucky enough to have a radio show.
I know. Well, I realize that, like, it's obligatory. We're talking two of the greatest civil rights leaders of the past century, and I realize it's obligatory for the American presidents to make an appearance, okay? That's a given, okay? But how in the world, after Bush has rolled back he's cut back on education, aid to the poor, and remember that he nominated Alito, and you know what he's going to do to civil rights in this country, but he nominated Alito while Rosa Parks lied in state.
Sure.
And how ironic was that? How hypocritical was all of that? I mean, I don't quite understand why it was, and I just watched the playback here because we're in the 8 o'clock hour here on the West Coast. I just watched the playback of the PBS NewsHour, mm-hmm. and it was very bizarre because they showed highlights of everybody's speeches except for Bush's. So I only saw a snippet of what he was saying. It was so silly and so contrived, but they showed Maya Angelou speaking and everybody else. I know you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Maya Angelou was saying, "I want the truth." She pointed to everybody in the audience except to George Bush. I realize this is a dignified affair. We're talking about a funeral service here, but why didn't anybody go Oprah on this guy and call him a liar? I mean, that
well,
was
let me try to answer. And again, I'm all full of stereotypes tonight. So if I piss anybody off, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go with the stereotypes.
Go for it.
You walk into a black church. I don't care who you are or what you've done. Once you come into the sanctuary, black folk are going to treat you with respect. While you're in the sanctuary, they understand George Bush to a far greater degree than most white people, probably better than most Latinos. Black folk have been dealing with George Bush for 350 years. They understand George Bush in a way that, are you Latino?
Yes, I am, and I'll give you an insight here. I was married to a black woman, and we have a beautiful 15-year-old daughter. So
okay,
I'm doing this not only for myself, but for them as well.
Right. Well, you may have been educated then. You may have picked up by osmosis, you know, from your wife. But for the most part, white folk just don't have a clue. They don't have a clue as to what this whole thing is that black folk have, especially black folk here in the South. And I'm not building it up. I'm not tearing it down. I'm just saying it's there. It's something that white people just do not have entree to for the most part. Now, some do. Some manage to find a crack in the wall and slip in.
Yeah.
Whether it's through a spouse or through humility or through just saying, okay, look, teach me. You know, I mean, if white people drop the arrogance, it's amazing how willing black folk are to say, okay, if you drop your arrogance just for a moment, sure, I'll sit down and talk with you. I'll sit down and talk. Well, that's what happened today. There were a lot of not a preponderance, but a lot of white faces in that audience today in that congregation. People
right.
who were there, and they were there respectfully. George Bush wasn't there respectfully. Remember,
no.
He didn't even want to go.
No.
He didn't even want to go. Karl Rove finally told him, George, you better go. We've written off the Negro vote, but you better go because it's going to be all over. And besides, if somebody says something nasty about you, all the white commentators then can jump on that and defend you. You see, it was a setup once again. Rove understands this. Rove is so much smarter than you and me, Sanchez. Rove is a genius. It's all evilness. But he knew. If he put... George Bush and Laura Bush on that stage, that some of the things said about Bush's policies would be picked up on by the white commentators afterwards and turned into something that the Bush's base could go, mm-hmm, see, they're attacking him again. Here they go again. You see, the whole thing is contrived.
Yeah, well, obviously so, but at some point, common sense has got to come to the rescue here, as well as the conscience, the collective conscience of the American people. This is the man that's represent. I mean, look, Bush was playing guitar while New Orleans flooded, the same way Nero played violin while Rome burned. I mean, can you see the parallel here?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay, so at one point, does common sense take over, and we call Tucker Carlson and all these other commentators white sheets and brain-dead clothing? When do we get to that point?
Sanchez, this is the United States of America, 2006. I don't think we're ever going to get that point. I got a break. Thanks, Sanchez. I hear you loud and clear, okay? I get what you're saying. I really get what you're saying. Thanks for checking in. We'll be right back.
Well, I'll see the fires burning and the local people turning on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops and every other household item. Watch them on, just turn and bite them. And they say it served them right because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV. And all that mass stupidity that seems to grow more every day.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
With my back pain, it hurt just to think about swinging a golf club.
Back pain can ruin your golf game. That's why you need capsaicin cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most, because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective,
it's like the pain was never there. It's unbelievable.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin cream. Relief beyond belief.
Now that's a shot.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Bedtime Lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. All right. We're going to do our reading from 1984 now. We are in still in Part 1, Chapter 5. When we left off last night, Parsons and Sim and Winston Smith, these are three guys that all work together in the Ministry of Truth, having lunch together. And the telescreen comes on with a bunch of statistics about how wonderfully Oceania is doing. So let's pick it up there. The announcement from the Ministry of Plenty ended on another trumpet call and gave way to tinny music. Parsons, stirred to vague enthusiasm by the bombardment of figures, took his pipe out of his mouth. "The Ministry of Plenty certainly done a good job this year," he said with a knowing shake of his head. "By the way, Smith, old boy, I suppose you haven't gotten any razor blades you can let me have?" "Not one," said Winston. "I've been using the same blade for 6 weeks myself." "Ah, well, just thought I'd ask you, old boy. Sorry." The quacking voice from the next table, temporarily silenced during the ministry's announcement, had started up again as loud as ever. For some reason, Winston suddenly found himself thinking of Mrs. Parsons with her wispy hair and the dust in the creases of her face. Within 2 years, those children of hers would be denouncing her to the thought police. Mrs. Parsons would be vaporized. Sim would be vaporized. Winston would be vaporized. O'Brien would be vaporized. Parsons, on the other hand, would never be vaporized. The eyeless creature with the quacking voice would never be vaporized. The little beetle-like men who scuttle so nimbly through the labyrinthine corridors of ministries, they too would never be vaporized. And the girl with dark hair, the girl from the fiction department, she would never be vaporized either. It seemed to him that he knew instinctively who would survive and who would perish. Though just what it was that made for survival, it was not easy to say. At this moment, he was dragged out of his reverie with a violent jerk. The girl at the next table had turned partly round and was looking at him. It was the girl with dark hair. She was looking at him in a sidelong way, but with curious intensity. The instant she caught his eye, she looked away again. The sweat started out on Winston's backbone. A horrible pang of terror went through him. It was gone almost at once, but it left a sort of nagging uneasiness behind. Why was she watching him? Why did she keep following him about? Unfortunately, he could not remember whether she had already been at the table when he arrived or had come there afterwards. But yesterday, at any rate, during the 2 minutes' hate, she had sat immediately behind him when there was no apparent need to do so. Quite likely, her real object had been to listen to him and make sure whether he was shouting loudly enough. His earlier thought returned to him. Probably she was not actually a member of the thought police, but then it was precisely the amateur spy who was the greatest danger of all. He did not know how long she had been looking at him, but perhaps for as much as 5 minutes, and it was possible that his features had not been perfectly under control. It was terribly dangerous to let your thoughts wander when you were in any public place or within range of a telescreen. The smallest thing could give you away. A nervous tick, an unconscious look of anxiety, a habit of muttering to yourself, anything that carried with it the suggestion of abnormality, of having something to hide. In any case, to wear an improper expression on your face, to look incredulous when a victory was announced, for example, was itself a punishable offense. There was even a word for it in newspeak. Face crime, it was called. The girl had turned her back on him again. Perhaps, after all, she was not really following him about. Perhaps it was coincidence that she had sat so close to him 2 days running. His cigarette had gone out, and he laid it carefully on the edge of the table. He would finish smoking it after work if he could keep the tobacco in it. Quite likely the person at the next table was a spy of the Thought Police, and quite likely he would be in the cellars of the Ministry of Love within 3 days, but a cigarette end must not be wasted. Sim had folded up his strip of paper and stowed it away in his pocket. Parsons had begun talking again. "Did I ever tell you, old boy," he said, chuckling around the stem of his pipe, "about the time when those two nippers of mine set fire to the old market woman's skirt because they saw her wrapping up sausages in a poster of Big Brother? Sneaked up behind her and set fire to her with a box of matches. Burned her quite badly, I believe. Little beggars, eh? But keen as mustard. That's a first-rate training they give them in the spies nowadays. Better than my day, even. What do you think's the latest thing they've seared them out with? Ear trumpets for listening through keyholes. My little girl brought one home the other night, tried it out on her sitting room door, and reckoned she could hear twice as much as with her ear to the hole. Of course, it's only a toy, mind you. Still gives them the right idea, eh?" At this moment, the telescreen let out a piercing whistle. It was the signal to return to work. All three men sprang to their feet to join the struggle around the lifts, and the remaining tobacco fell out of Winston's cigarette. Chapter 6. Winston was writing in his diary. It was 3 years ago. It was on a dark evening in a narrow side street near one of the big railway stations. She was standing near a doorway in the wall under a street lamp that hardly gave any light. She had a young face, painted very thick. It was really the paint that appealed to me, the whiteness of it, like a mask, and the bright red lips. Party women never paint their faces. There was nobody else in the street and no telescreens. She said, $2. For the moment, it was too difficult to go on. He shut his eyes and pressed his fingers against them, trying to squeeze out the vision that kept recurring. He had an almost overwhelming temptation to shout a string of filthy words at the top of his voice, or to bang his head against the wall, to kick over the table and hurl the inkpot through the window, to do any violent or noisy or painful thing that might black out the memory that was tormenting him. Your worst enemy, he reflected, was your own nervous system. At any moment, the tension inside you is liable to translate itself into some visible symptom. He thought of a man whom he had passed in the street a few weeks back, a quite ordinary-looking man, a party member, aged 35 to 40, tallish and thin, carrying a briefcase. They were a few meters apart when the left side of the man's face was suddenly contorted by a sort of spasm. It happened again just as they were passing one another. It was only a twitch, a quiver, rapid as the clicking of a camera shutter, but obviously habitual. He remembered thinking at the time, "That poor devil's done for." And what was frightening was that the action was quite possibly unconscious. The most deadly danger of all was talking in your sleep. There was no way of guarding against that, so far as he could see. He drew his breath and went on writing. I went with her through the doorway and across the backyard into a basement kitchen. There was a bed against the wall and a lamp on the table turned down very low. His teeth were set on edge. He would have liked to spit. Simultaneously with the woman in the basement kitchen, he thought of Catherine, his wife. Winston was married, had been married at any rate. Probably he still was married. So far as he knew, his wife was not dead. He seemed to breathe again the warm, stuffy odor of the basement kitchen, an odor compounded of bugs and dirty clothes and villainous, cheap scent, but nevertheless alluring because no woman of the party ever used scent or could be imagined as doing so. Only the proles used scent. In his mind, the smell of it was inextricably mixed up with fornication. When he had gone with that woman, it had been his first lapse in 2 years or thereabouts. Consorting with prostitutes was forbidden, of course, but it was one of those rules that you could occasionally nerve yourself to break. It was dangerous, but it was not a life and death matter. To be caught with a prostitute might mean 5 years in a forced labor camp, not more if you had committed no other offense, and it was easy enough provided that you could avoid being caught in the act. The poorer quarters swarmed with women who were ready to sell themselves. Some could even be purchased for a bottle of gin, which the proles were not supposed to drink. Tacitly, the party even was inclined to encourage prostitution as an outlet for instincts which could not be altogether suppressed. Mere debauchery did not matter very much, so long as it was furtive and joyless and only involved the women of a submerged but despised class. The unforgivable crime was promiscuity between party members. But, though this was one of the crimes that the accused in the great purges invariably confessed to, but it was difficult to imagine any such thing actually happening. The aim of the party was not merely to prevent men and women from forming loyalties, which it might not be able to control. Its real undeclared purpose was to remove all pleasure from the sexual act. Not love so much as eroticism was the enemy, inside marriage as well as outside it. All marriages between party members had to be approved by a committee appointed for the purpose, and though the principle was never clearly stated, permission was always refused if the couple concerned gave the impression of being physically attracted to one another.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. Working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Yeah.
about 9 before the hour. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm not allowed to watch Tucker Carlson at home. It's one of those, you know, I'm not allowed near the TV when they're on.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that kills me, absolutely. Yeah, if anybody had a right to speak at that funeral or that homegoing celebration for Mrs. King, it was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's done more humanitarian things.
That's right.
For this world, in the spirit of the Kings, than anybody. These people just disgust me. You know, if we had real news, they'd be telling people that the White House has come out against a proposed bill that would have bailed out uninsured homeowners, the victims of Katrina, with billions of federal dollars. They would have told people that.
It's astonishing. If ever, and again, I'm in a real racial mode tonight, and I apologize to anybody who's offended by it. But if ever there was a white man who has lived through it, who has gone through the metamorphosis that's required, Jimmy Carter, former president, has gone through it. This man is, I think he shows his devotion to the teachings of his religion, the teachings of Jesus. He is a real Christian, and he understands, I think, on a visceral level, the black experience as much as a white man can. You know, he can't really go there, but he can get as close to it as possible. Some white people can and some can't, and I think Carter certainly qualifies. I think he was a very successful president. He just happened to come along at the wrong time. He was a moral man. He's probably the most moral man that we've had in the White House. I know he made some mistakes. I know his position in the Middle East was not necessarily politically correct. Yada yada yada. But he was certainly a moral man.
Absolutely, and yeah, I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah.
And just to watch these people on the television bash him and bash everybody else that was at the thing really, really upset me.
Wasn't that...
Considering the Roe situation today.
Oh, I know. For Tucker Carlson to say that what happened at the funeral was... What was the word he was using, Kathy? Over and over, not an outrage, but...
Rude?
Yeah, it was rude. Yeah, rude. For Tucker Carlson to say that, At the very same time, what's happening with the Bush crime family is what you just said, in addition to the fact that they're murdering people all over the planet. It's astonishing what these Republicans consider to be rude or how they put up a smoke screen to cover their own criminal activity. It's just unbelievable.
And you know what else is rude today? You know, Rumsfeld is telling people now it's going to take 20 years to rebuild the infrastructure of Iraq. So that means my tax dollars and your tax dollars and some people's kids' tax dollars
are going to go to Halliburton
to rebuild a place we never had any business blowing up to begin with. But we can't help these people in New Orleans.
Yeah,
and why do you think that is?
Because they're evil sons of bitches out of the deepest ring of hell. That's why. That's all I can come up with. I don't understand it either.
Me too.
I just don't. Philip, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. Appreciate your call. Russell is calling from Minnesota. Russell, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to tell you, your listeners, there's going to be a conference on Iraq Saturday, March 4th at the University of Minnesota from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Carlson School of Management Building, West Bank of Minneapolis.
Okay.
There'll be a keynote address by Sammy Rousselie, workshops led by local experts, including community activists and leaders, as well as university faculty. Topics may include democracy under occupation, in Iraq not for sale, environmental impacts of the war on Iraq. The event will also include lunch, and there will be a charge from $5 to $10. It's on a sliding, whatever you can afford, and if you can't afford anything, you'll be allowed to come in anyway. And you can come in any time from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Is there a website that has all this information?
There might be. I don't know. I have the number of the anti-war committee at the U of M that's sponsoring this?
Well, you might not want to give it because a lot of right-wing lurkers listen to this program. I'm sure the people who can come to this event will know how to get in touch, you know, through their association in around Minneapolis-St. Paul. But when you give numbers out on the air, especially for a peace event like this, these blood-eating, flesh-devouring right-wingers who eat their own excrement when they can't find someone else to eat, they will just call and jam the phone line. So I wouldn't give the number out.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is in Bush's America. You know, these right-wingers care no more about peace than they care about their own wives and children. They're just vampires.
But anyway, if you can come there on Saturday, March 4th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Carleton School of Management, University of Minnesota, we'd like everybody, as many people throughout the state of Minnesota and if outside of the state who can come.
All right.
As they say, be there or be square.
If you get a website, email it to me, and I'll give the web address over the air, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Russell. Thanks for checking in. Time for another break. Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this one for the final hour of the program. Do stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Afghan police shot to death four people who were protesting against cartoons depicting the Muslim prophet Muhammad. The cartoons have resulted in a wave of protests around the world, with tens of thousands demonstrating in the Middle East, Asia, and Africa over the drawings. The cartoons were first published in Denmark and then Norway. Several other European countries published them as well. President Bush says Coretta Scott King not only strengthened her husband's legacy, but she built a legacy of her own. He spoke at the funeral for Mrs. King in Lithonia, Georgia. Bush called her a person of conviction and strength who became one of the most admired Americans of our time. Near the end of the service, the king's daughter Bernice said her mother was a world leader.
She was not just a national figure. She was a global leader. And God wanted this world to not just recognize her, but recognize the spirit in which she lived and moved and had her being.
Former Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Carter also spoke. Clinton said a very important day in Mrs. King's life was the day after her husband, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated. On that day, she went to Memphis to lead a garbage workers' strike, carrying on her husband's quest for equality. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld warns that corruption could slow down the evolution of the new government in Iraq. In a Senate budget hearing, Rumsfeld noted that violence, corruption, and criminality continue to pose challenges in Iraq. Meanwhile, Michigan Democrat Carl Levin called Iraq's constitution a divisive document and said the next several months are likely to determine whether Iraq will be engulfed in all-out civil war or move toward nationhood. Homeland Security officials have taken their passenger screening efforts to a new platform, the train platform. For the next 3 weeks, path riders at the Exchange Place station in Jersey City may be asked to walk through a metal detector or place their bag in a bomb detection device in this first-in-the-country experiment. This passenger didn't mind the inspection.
It's like a mall. It's an easy target. And it's scary. I mean, we're right in the shadows of the world, what was once the World Trade Center. So for us, it's very real.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. We're coming back to your phone calls here in just a second. There was one other thing that caught my eye today. Maybe you saw it too. It was in the February 5th. That would be this past Sunday. The Sunday Sun from the UK. I believe it's in Newcastle. And it has to do with research down here at the University of Georgia. Now, some of you may, all the way back here in the States, some of you may be familiar with this story. We may have mentioned it, but it's only just appeared in the British press, in this particular newspaper on February 5th just passed. And it says, research by an acclaimed U.S. psychologist suggests that 80% of men who are homophobic have secret homosexual feelings. This finding lends scientific support to a long-standing speculation that those who shout the loudest against homosexuality may have something to hide. The research results were published in the prestigious Journal of Abnormal Psychology with the backing of the American Psychological Association. Now, see, let me digress. That is poetic justice. They published a report in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology. It's not the gay folk that are abnormal. It's the homophobes. Why, of course. The test in tests conducted by Professor Henry Adams, University of Georgia, homophobic men who voluntarily said, yeah, I hate queers, who said they were exclusively heterosexual, were shown gay sex videos. 4 out of 5, that's where the 80% comes from, became sexually aroused by the homoerotic imagery as recorded by a plethysmograph, a calibrated band fitted around the penis which measures any enlargement. Fill in your own joke. Professor Adams says his research shows that most homophobes, quote, demonstrate significant sexual arousal to homosexual erotic stimuli, end quote, suggesting that homophobia is a form of, quote, latent homosexuality where persons are either unaware of or deny their homosexual urges, end quote. And then it goes on to say the professor's research confirms the old adage that homophobia is an expression of self-hating, repressed homosexuality. Progressive schools of psychoanalysis have long theorized that homophobic prejudice involves the projection of fear and disgust concerning one's own homosexuality onto others. Those who cannot accept their same-sex desires, so the theory goes, vent their self-loathing through attacks on other people's homosexuality. This homophobic defense mechanism, the article says, is also often a bizarre form of overcompensation. Maladjusted lesbians and gay men who feel guilty about their homosexuality become stridently anti-gay as a way of compensating emotionally for their self-shame. Yeah, we know about that, don't we? There have been so many people in government, always Republicans, who are strident in their attacks on gay folk. And then it turns out that they're gay, too. And you know, heteros will stand around going, what the hell? In some cases, the article says, ostentatious homophobia is a deliberate ploy to deflect suspicions and rumors of one's own homosexuality. This ruse is based on the assumption that if someone acts homophobic, other people will be less inclined to believe they are gay. Yada, yada. We've talked about this for years. I mean, it's always been an accepted theory that homophobia is nothing more than usually males who cannot accept their own homosexual inclinations or urges or, Brokeback Mountain syndrome or whatever the hell you want to call it. And, that's not a newsflash. But now they have what I guess in physiological studies is considered scientific evidence. You know, if you're watching a homoerotic film of just men and, your penis starts to enlarge, hello, that's usually a sign that something cool is happening, right? Wow, man, did you see that? Woo, I didn't know they could do that. You know, that sort of thing. But it cracks me up. Because I get a lot of hate emails, most of which I don't even see because I have a pretty sophisticated filter on my email system. But sometimes people will forward to me something that they, you know, from a homophobic website or what have you. And invariably, you can be sure that the person writing the homophobic rant is a closeted gay man who just can't deal with it. Not a closeted gay man, but a man who's living as a heterosexual and knows deep down inside that he's at best for him, he might be bisexual, but he'd like to do it with a man. He really would like to do it with a man, but it freaks him out. So he projects all this ugliness out on gay folk. Now, if it weren't for the fact that projection usually involves violence, given a chance, you know, a homophobe, someone who can't deal with their own sexual arousal caused by other men, will commit murder, beatings, violence. And if it weren't for that, it would be laughable. It would be so funny, but it's not funny. Homophobic violence, just like violence against Latinos or violence against people that are mistaken or not mistaken for being Arabic or Muslim. You know, so many instances, especially here in the South, you have a gang of white dumbasses riding around a pickup truck and they see an Indian man, a Sikh, in a turban, and they'll jump out screaming Arab at him and beat him. And it's insane. But that's what you have to put up with here in the South for the good weather. If you're white, I'm saying if you're white. And black folk, you don't need to talk to any black person about that sort of violence. Don't need to talk to any black person about lynching. But the study was intriguing because it was done here at the University of Georgia, which is kind of, you pardon the expression, a hotbed of racism and homophobia to begin with. I mean, what the hell? It's Georgia, University of Georgia. Come on. Yeah, hey, oh damn, let's go out there and beat up some queers and drink some beer while we're doing it. Or whatever. Okay, I'd like to go back to the phone calls, but my screen is dark. Maybe Jason can say a name for me in my headphones. Lance in Fort Worth, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on, Lance.
That reminds me of what my dad used to say. In fact, he was from your neck of the woods there.
Yeah.
He's from Chattooga County. He used to say...
Chattooga. Oh, my God. Chattooga County. All right.
Deliverance country.
Yeah, I'm that's what I'm talking about.
He used to say, the only people baiting queers are the ones who'd be fishing for them in the first place.
Yeah, amen and amen. Yeah, I hear that.
As far as Cato Boyne, as she calls herself, is concerned, from the National Review.
Oh, yeah. How does she say her name?
It's spelled O'Byrne, but she's Cato Boyne.
Oh, I see.
Bugs Bunny when she talks. You'll notice, although she doesn't have Bugs as good teeth.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll never, ever see her and Laverne DeFazio from Laverne and Shirley in the same room at the same time.
There must be a reason for that.
It won't happen.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, and the thing I loved is watching that jackass, Sean Insanity,
yeah,
saying, but Bush appointed two black people to his administration.
Right. Sean falls into the racist stereotype so easy. You don't even need to grease him up. He just falls right into it.
He's too stupid. I could sell him dirt.
Yeah, I know, and he would buy and buy and buy.
But you know, anytime some right winger tries that line, you know what you say to him?
What?
Take those two, multiply by 500. And that's roughly the number of black people that Bush left to be drowned or eaten by alligators in New Orleans.
That's very true. That's very true. And there's some doubt as to...
that they know of.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, listen, Lance, there's the music. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, I appreciate it. We'll be right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Become a Mystery ShopLink shopper. Call 1-800-451-4186 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-451-4186. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. Call 1-800-451-4186. 86.
Option not available in Nevada.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
You just got to keep repeating that, don't you? It's about 21 past the hour. Email here from Reg says, 4 U.S. Marines were killed in Iraq today. 5 Iraqis died, as they do every day. There was not even a mention of this on the Air America News just now or any time this evening. Is Air America also pretending there's no war on? I'm really distressed by this. No place to vent, so you get the brunt. Reg. I guess that really sucks, doesn't it? Air America Radio News, I don't know. That's done in New York and we're in Atlanta. As far as my not mentioning it, yeah, you're right. It is... it's an omission on my part, I guess consciously, because of the events that occurred today. There is death in Iraq every single day, and I guess we should mention it every single day. It's horrifying. Five more Americans, five more Iraqis. It's just going to continue and continue and continue until this Bush bastard is prevailed upon to get American troops out of there. So anyone who is offended by the fact that it's not mentioned on this network in the newscasts or on this program tonight, I do apologize. Chris is calling from Cave Creek, Arizona. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Oh, man. I don't know what to do with these Nazi buggers. I don't really. I mean, they're just...
I
look at all the history. They say those aren't who live... who refuse to read history are condemned to repeat it, and we all know he doesn't read.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. You know, the study you mentioned, it's funny. I have had boyfriends myself, and I've also seen the kind that just can't accept it. It's just so odd.
You're having a little trouble putting sentences together tonight, aren't you?
Well, it's this whole...
Well, what's the matter, Chris?
These people... what's his name? The Attorney General, Gonzalez.
Gonzalez.
He was talking about how history has shown that electronic surveillance was allowed under a whole bunch of other presidents. He mentioned Washington... and Lincoln, along with Wilson and Roosevelt.
Right.
And I'm going, and you know, the Republicans that were there in the committee, well, and the Democrats, actually, were just sitting there nodding like it was no big deal. Yeah,
Well, I brought it up last night. Why didn't he go on and mention Nixon?
Well, why did he mention Washington and Lincoln?
Because he's a freak.
I mean, and he expected somebody to buy that? I mean, was it just a slip, or was he just testing to see how much he could get away with?
I don't think it's that, because I think these people understand they can get away with anything.
Oh God! I mean, nobody called him on it. It was like nobody.
Don't forget, this is an attorney general who sat before a Senate committee and wasn't even sworn in. They didn't have the courage to make the bastard take the oath. It was incredible, incredible.
I know. Where is the Republican? You know, they're always we defend America. We protect your rights, and we do this and we do that. Yeah,
no,
right.
Don't. No, they don't.
Where's your spine? You know, if the Democrats don't have a spine, what about the old style conservatives, the ones that were just fiscally conservative but civil libertarians? I mean, what the hell happened to them? Where'd they go?
They're hiding because they're as terrified of Karl Rove as the Democrats are. Karl Rove is truly a Heinrich Himmler. This guy is capable now with this attitude that Bush can do anything. Karl Rove will have people murdered. It's very simple. He will. He has the power to have people murdered, very simply, by telling George, here, sign this document. Okay, we want this person murdered. And Bush might say, well, wait a minute. No, just sign it, George. Okay. You know, I mean, it's that bad. So I think...
Good God!
Well,
what's
yeah.
What's the matter with these people?
They're just being neo-Nazis.
Oh... Well, hail the Fuhrer, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Chris, thanks for checking in. I hear you're stressed tonight, but thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Gabby wrote this to me. Hi, Mike. Wanted to start off to tell you that I totally agree with almost, emphasis on almost, everything you have to say. Literally live and die by Air America. On that note, I wanted to comment on how last night when you spoke out against the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, about Bush's illegal spying. When you first started, I was agreeing with you, listening on and on until you started making racial comments. As a Hispanic woman, it disturbs me to hear you speak of that Latino that you referred to as Gonzalez. Why not just call him a lying son of a bitch, like you usually do? I feel that it's totally unnecessary to use the race card. Oh, besides that, keep trucking. And it's signed Gabby. Kathy and I talked about that when the program was over last night. My use of I also said that, you know, if Bush hadn't made him attorney general, he might be a member of some Latino street gang in South Central. I understand. I understand your concern, Gabby, and I may have been out of line with that. My producer and wife thought I was. She raised her eyebrows and gave me that wagging finger look. I say a lot of stuff on this program in the passion of the moment. I've said before, I am a racist because I'm a white male American. And the only thing that differentiates me with a lot of other white male racists is that I struggle against it, and sometimes the racism leaks through. But good call, Gabby. You're right. And to the extent that it was offensive, I just flat out apologize.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man. I think termites are destroying my kid's wood swing set.
Oh, that's not good. What makes you think it's termites?
I don't know. The swings are lower.
But are you sure your kids aren't just taller?
Even the baby's got skin knees.
Oh.
No, my house could be next.
Could be. Those little foragers can travel over 100 feet.
It's only 30 to the house.
Don't worry. One of our experts can treat these and help prevent more in the future.
Thanks, Orkin Guy.
Man.
Hi, man.
For a free inspection, just call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
We'll be right back.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, that music seems to fit right in. It's 25 before the hour. Reg just sent this to me. It's from Wednesday's New York Times. That would be tomorrow morning's. Well, it is morning here in the East. A House Republican who, the headline is, Republican who oversees NSA calls for wiretap inquiry. Now, this is very important. A House Republican whose subcommittee oversees the National Security Agency broke ranks with the White House on Tuesday and called for a full congressional inquiry into the Bush administration's domestic eavesdropping program. Uh-oh. The lawmaker, Representative Heather Wilson of New Mexico, chairwoman of the House Intelligence Subcommittee on Technical and Tactical Intelligence, said in an interview that she had, quote, serious concerns, end quote, about the surveillance program. By withholding information about its operations from many lawmakers, she said, the administration has deepened her apprehension about whom the agency is monitoring and why. Ms. Wilson, who was a National Security Council aide in the administration of President Bush's father, is the first Republican on either the House's Intelligence Committee or the Senate's to call for a full congressional investigation into the program in which the NSA has been eavesdropping without warrants on the communications of people inside the United States believed to have links with terrorists. And it goes on and on and on. And it mentions what we mentioned earlier tonight. Four of the 10 Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee have voiced concerns about what Bush is doing. They voiced the concerns yesterday when Gonzalez was testifying. So you never know. You know? You never know. It's impossible, of course, for a Democrat. You know, I will kick Democrats' ass as often as they need kicking. It's impossible for a House Democrat to call for a congressional inquiry and get any kind of results. I know several House Democrats have, but they are totally ignored. Totally ignored. This is a House Republican. Back to the phone calls. Diego is calling from San Diego. Diego from San Diego, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Okay. What I pretty much came to call to talk about was that...
Oh, wait a minute. Is this the 17-year-old who wrote me the email?
Yes, I did.
Hey, Diego. How you doing? I was going to read I was going to read your email tonight, but didn't get around to it. Let me just tell the audience, Diego wrote me an email and said that he listens to news out of Mexico City, news reports, because Diego obviously is bilingual, and his parents are from Mexico, and... In the email, Diego told me that, well, you go ahead, pick up the story there.
Yeah, well, pretty much is going on. The U.S. Treasury Department has started telling Mexico diplomats to stop all diplomatic and economic ties towards Cuba,
right.
Which I think is a violation because this country was set up on popular sovereignty. And another thing is,
Wait a second. A sovereignty, another nation's sovereignty, doesn't mean a damn thing to the Bush administration. You understand that, Diego? Okay.
No, of course not. Yeah.
All right.
And another thing was that what I also put in there was that Fox, my quote-unquote favorite station.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing I can listen to before going to sleep. But
sure.
Well, what they said was a bunch of Mexican military men were crossing over the U.S. border, helping drug traffickers, trying to smuggle drugs over the border. And what I think is, this is a, what I believe is, the Mexicans will become the next scapegoat towards for the U.S., and there's going to be a large manhunt towards Mexicans and Mexican citizens.
The relationship between the United States and Mexico is really a weird relationship. If you remember, when Bush first stole the presidency of the United States, he had a meeting. The first foreign head of state he met with was Vicente Fox.
Yes.
And they had all this back-slapping, ass-grabbing. They were going to be the great buddies and all the things they're going to do, which is a joke. Because Bush is inherently a racist. Even though Vicente obviously does not have a native blood in him, he's Spanish, I would assume. But Bush is just that way. He covers it up very nicely. Black folk understand his racism and his double dealing and his lies and his sneakiness. I don't know if Latinos do or not. I have no idea. But the situation with Fox has deteriorated to the point that what you are describing now is it means a deep rift between the United States and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And you said in your email your parents are from Mexico?
Yes, my parents are Mexican.
So you said something about how you felt like your parents were being disrespected by all this.
Yes, pretty much. And what was I going to say? And hopefully one day I can teach one day and just teach all these wrongdoings one day and show how horrible this administration really was in the future for future generations.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Well, Diego, I'm glad you got through on the program. Thanks for checking in, okay?
And one more thing.
Yeah.
You're reading my favorite book of all times.
Oh, 1984? Yeah. Hey, I got another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another book. Have you ever read Lord of the Flies?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have read it. Okay.
Yeah.
William Golding's book. That's a great book. I read that when I was in high school. It scared the living hell out of me. You know, it really scared me. All right. Well, good. All right, Diego, thanks for checking in. Take care, okay?
All right. You too.
All right. Let me see. Now, wait a second. Kevin is calling from Memphis. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I saw that lady tonight. O'Brien, whatever her name was.
Oh, Katie O'Byrne or whatever.
Is that what it was? I thought it was O'Brien or Chris Matthews.
Set your teeth on edge? Huh?
When she said that, you know, it was disrespectful, and I was like, wait a second. Now, when I watched it, everybody was clapping enthusiastically.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of these people don't understand a liberal funeral, whether that liberal is black or white. Look at the hell they raised about what happened at Paul Wellstone's funeral. When they said it got political, to accuse people at Greta Scott King's funeral for being political is like accusing a snowman of being white or something. I mean, it's insane. Of course it's political. That's the whole lives of the King family were political. These right-wing white people are scary as well as just insane. But that's not what you called about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if you've ever read any free thought literature.
Well, what do you mean by free thought?
Well, you know, stuff that's based in atheism and...
Oh, the free thought society.
Like Chapman Cohen and
Robert
Ingersoll, you know. I mean, they're some of the great writers of all time.
No, I haven't specifically read anything in particular. I have had guests on over the course of my radio career from the Free Thought Society, from atheistic societies. And I've always found them to be incredibly tolerant, incredibly fair.
We don't discriminate against anyone. I mean, I'm an atheist, and I mean, it was the best thing that ever happened to me when I shed all that religious crap that just oppresses people, and it causes all of the problems in the world, psychological, the wars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the biggest problem in the world.
Well, you get
religion is the most divisive thing of humankind.
You get no argument from me on that topic. I completely agree. I
thought it was so interesting tonight. You were reading from 1984, and the little bit you were reading was, you know, right there at the end was about how the party picked people's husbands and wives. That's exactly what goes on in some Christian cults.
That's true. That's very true.
I mean, it's all about control, everything you do.
But it also goes on in Muslim organizations, cultures, in Jewish, Orthodox Jewish cultures, Hindu cultures. So, yeah, I
the one that we're, like, you know, marinated in this country.
I like that. Marinated.
Well, right. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you can't turn on the TV, even your show. I mean, even though I know you try not to, you try to filter that kind of thing out, or you don't want to talk about it much, but people are talking about God all the time.
Yeah, well.
God is just a freaking idea.
I know. I hear you. Kevin, I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Hey, Mr. President, all you congressmen too, you got me frustrated, and I don't know what to do. I'm trying to make a living. I can't save a cent. It takes all of my money just to eat and pay my rent. I got the blues. Got those inflation blues.
It's about 9 before the hour. We did not get to the Islamic story, the cartoons that has caused death and upheaval in the so-called Muslim world. We will do that tomorrow night because I think that is an incredibly important story. But tonight, thanks to our folks who helped put the program together, Justin Nguyen and Jason Isaac for engineering the program in New York. Dee Neal is our associate producer in New York, answered your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch of White Rose Society, and Jim in Arkansas all contribute. And, of course, our executive producer here is Catherine Bay. Ken is calling about, or calling from, I should say, Charlottesville, Virginia. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I've had a tough time. I've just, you know, took your advice, and I looked up that Loose Change video, and it's I haven't done anything else since but research this thing. And there's I've just been reading about all of these transcripts of all of these explosions in the basements of the towers, and just, it's just so crazy. I'm so obsessed with this. It's all I think anyone should be screaming about is this lie that all of their other lies are based on. I mean, everything they do is based on this pre 9/11, post 9/11 thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in the post 9/11 world, and we have to, you know, we have these war powers because we're a country at war, and the whole thing was just a staged movie. It was a fairy tale. You know, I thank you so much for being the only one who's out there. You know, I don't know what Randy like kind of hints around at it sometimes, but you're right on, man. You're right on. Thank you.
Well, everybody has to decide, and I believe this. Everybody has to decide by looking at whatever evidence is available, using whatever expertise they have, and calling in either literally asking people who have engineers or structural engineers or explosives experts. You have to do your own research. But I do not believe in just accepting the story from this Bush crime family. So
no.
If you've arrived at a position that I've arrived at and do believe that there was absolute direct involvement by the Bush crime family in this so-called attack on this country on September 11th, well, it wasn't so-called, it was an attack, but it was probably engineered, if you believe a certain way, by people in our own government. If you've arrived at that through your own independent research, the only thing I'm afraid of, and the reason I tend not to talk about this as frequently as I might have over the past year and a half, is because I expect people to arrive at their own conclusions.
Right.
I don't, you know, I'll state my case, and I get the emails from people who tell me I'm you know, just a sick conspiratorial tin foil hat wearing jerk for believing any of this stuff. Okay, that, you know, that's fair, whatever. But anybody has to arrive at their working conclusion, what they can deal with. A lot of people can't, you know, just can't deal with the truth. Just like the character in A Few Good Men said, you can't handle the truth. So that's, you know, whatever. But I'm glad you saw the movie. Well, wait a second. Ken, hold on just a second. I'm glad you saw the movie, and I'm glad you're questioning the authority that wants you to believe a certain way. That's all, you know.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Anything? I didn't mean you have to go. Anything else you want to say?
Oh, I just, you know, it's so great to hear someone else that's going crazy too, because I'm really going crazy.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
No, don't go crazy.
And well, you know, I'm kind of right there, you know, just not going over the edge, and I'm trying to keep it in the middle of the road for you.
Well, you know what John Lennon said, whatever gets you through the night, right?
Yeah, man.
All right, Ken, take care. Take care, Ken. It's cool. It's cool. Elise is calling from Memphis. Hey, Elise.
Hey, I like Ken.
Yeah, he's all right. I hate to do this to you. We have a minute.
Oh, Mexican parents. The guy who just called before then.
Diego.
Disillusionment over the Bush's attitude over Mexican Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Consolation. At least he will accept us as long, accept them as long as they're not dark as we are.
I wonder about that where it concerns Bush. Bush has a scary, he's a coward, and he's afraid of people who are from different countries, different cultures, different racial groups. He's a classic a coward, afraid totally of things he doesn't understand.
They will be the new nigger, you know, and not in an offensive way, but in the way that it's viewed we are.
Now let me say something just to clear it up for the audience. You can say the N-word, right?
Yes.
And why can you say the N-word?
Well, you can say it.
Well, no, I can't. No, I can't. I can't say it over the air, but you can. Why is that? Because you're a woman of American of African descent.
Well, I'm not using it, Mike, in the sense that.
No, I understand. What I'm getting at is you're an African-American woman, so you can say it, whereas I can't. And that's because cool. That's cool.
It's not to me.
I know. I understand.
My white girlfriend asked me the same thing.
I know. Elise, I understand. I'm just saying on the radio, if I said that, they would cut me off. But you can say it, and you don't get cut off.
All right, I won't use it. Again.
Okay, that's the way. Well, no, I think that's the way it should be. Listen, I gotta go, dear heart.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in, Elise. Thanks for participating. We'll see you all tomorrow night. All right. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain, it wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
With my back pain, it hurt just to think about swinging a golf club.
Back pain can ruin your golf game. That's why you need Capsaicin Cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most, because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective.
It's like the pain was never there. It's unbelievable.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin Cream. Relief beyond belief.
Now that's a shot.